We ready for the opening scripture?
Yes.
Yes, I guess why not? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. I have two, and the two kind of go together. One's in 2 Timothy and the other one is in Psalm 84. But these are wonderful because when Paul wrote letters like this to Timothy, and you got to remember Timothy was like about 16 and had many leadership responsibilities placed on him. Some question whether he was a pastor or an elder or what, but it was important enough to God that Timothy's in the Bible. That's all I'll say about it. And that gets rid of all the religious arguments and contentions about how old he was and the ministry responsibilities. But it's interesting in the wording of the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And it has to do with our relationship with the Lord and how God responds in return. And verse 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. And that's such a truth, because did you ever let the words accidentally slip out of your mouth, I can't believe that? Anyone ever said that? You know, we go back to our word teaching and then we all get paranoid and we won't say certain words for 2 months and then we forget and go back. Even in that event, that we, at any time, it says, if we believe not, if there is something that we find it very difficult to believe the Lord for, God is still faithful because of the provision that he's already made, and he can't take it back. That's a really powerful thing to look at when you think about the work of the cross. God is not going to undo the work of the cross and the provisions that he's made. And if he said this in Peter, that he has, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, how can he undo his word? He says he will not. He abides faithful. To abide means to live in, to dwell in, to remain attached to. God dwells in, he lives in, and he remains attached to his word, and his word dwells in, lives in, and remains attached to himself. And so he's not, even though he has said things, even though he's promised things, and if we at any time fall into some doubt or some unbelief along the way, we're going to be the ones, we will be the ones that will suffer the lack because of our unbelief. But what God has done always remains. It's still there, whether we believe it or not. And I remember Kenneth Hagin saying one time that God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And then he went a step further and he said, whether I believe it or not, it's still settled. And so when you think about it, he remains faithful to his word because he's already given his word and he's faithful to it. And now the companion verse, Psalm 84:11. I know I'm probably going quickly, but I want to make the connection. Psalm 84:11 says, the Lord God is our protector and glorious King. He blesses us with kindness and honor. The Lord freely gives every good thing to those who do what is right. Unbelief in the life of a Christian is not doing what's right. Whenever we do anything contrary to his word, that's not right. But it still doesn't undo God's faithfulness. It still doesn't undo what he's already done. To me, when I read scriptures like that, if I sin and I get into a not a good place, it's like I put this over my head like an umbrella, and it keeps my head from getting wet when it rains. God's blessings and his favor are upon all of our lives, but whenever we sin or we get into wrongdoing, call it what you will, it's like putting that up there. His blessing and his favor is falling everywhere else, but because of my actions, I'm preventing myself from receiving what God has already done. Because it says he will withhold no good thing. It's still there, but through our actions or inactions, we can hinder ourselves from receiving it. And so many times, people are quick to blame God because they didn't get this or they didn't get that. But I think it's always good to do a spiritual checklist, like we talked about the door at your house. What was going on during that time or just previous to that? That's always a healthy thing for us to do as believers, because unbelief is a pretty serious matter, because believing is a choice. Like everything in our faith, it's always a choice. We have God's way or our way. And so it's important that we make our choices based on what he says in his word, what he's done in his word, and come to know him as a faithful God, even though we may have done things or set things in motion through our speaking. Like when we were praying for you last week, Peggy, and God broke that curse off your life. I mean, that's been on you for a long time, and each time you would come, I didn't really pick up on it. And last week, it was like all these people told you all this stuff, and you began to believe it. I mean, you resisted, but the fact of the matter is they did it. And they did it with their words. And to break that curse last week, I don't know, all I just saw was like a flutter of something that went out like that. It went towards the back room, and wherever it went, I don't know. But it left. I don't often see things in the spirit like that, but once in a while I do. And I saw that leave. And just like your house, whatever was there, it's not there anymore. And every once in a while, make sure, take some anointing oil or some cooking oil or something, go around your houses, and periodically anoint the mantle and the doorposts of your own homes, your apartments, your house, wherever you live. Just like God told the Israelites when the death angel passed over, the death angel, the destroyer, the wicked one, the evil one, the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, release your faith in the blood of Jesus for using anointing oil. I can't even wash the oil off those doorposts now that it's embedded in the paint. I'll have to take care of that sometime, but not till I leave. I want the battle scars to stay there for the next ones who come along and occupy the building long after we all have come and gone. But do that from time to time at home. And God told them if they would take the blood of the lamb, a male lamb, apply it over the mantle, which is the top part of your doorway and the sides. He said that when the destroyer or the death angel came by and he saw that blood, he would have to pass over that house. He could not come there with his plague of the firstborn to take out any male children, because that was the curse that came upon Israel and any house that was not covered by the blood of the Lamb. So do that from time to time in your house. So what if people think you're radical? Who cares? It works. That's why we can come here every week, and spiritually, you know, God takes care of this place. From time to time, somebody forgets and leaves the door unlocked, and I'm down here most every day, at least do a walkthrough of the building, and I find things like that from time to time. There has never been anything stolen of any value out of this building, ever, never, not one time in 32 years, coming up on February 6th, that's how long we've been here, and no time has any damage come to the building. The lawnmower threw a few rocks through the windows downstairs, but that was an accident. You can give the lawnmower guy a little wisdom to mow the other way when he cuts. You know, that's all you got to do to throw stones in the parking lot, not through the windows. But it's been wonderful because we take the time to do things like that. And God still remains faithful even when we're not. You might forget to pray one day or several days or whatever, but he still remains faithful. And that's the part that I really believe he would have us to know him. He's the faithful God. He's the faithful one. Even when we fall short, he never falls short. And I'm just thankful that when we come together, this is not formal. If we were sitting in our living rooms, we could talk like this. Because we realize and know and understand that He's in us and we're in Him, and we're each in one another in our faith, all by the Spirit. And when we come together, it's such a joy to be able to come and just have that freedom. Man, that's not like that in a lot of places. And it would be really hard for some people to adjust and to do that. But here it works. And I'm thankful that we're all a part of this walk together. Many people who speak, and they're always struggling and striving to come up with like a new message for Christmas or a new one for Easter and all, but I just find that hard to do, because to do that you kind of have to step out of the Scriptures. But this is so relevant, this slide. And if you go with me, please, to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read from verses 8 through 20. And when you see people who paint scriptural events, I told you I'd come across a wonderful collection that we don't get into copyright infringements using them for something like this. It really depicts a lot. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And look at the slide. Someone captured that and painted that, and it's just so beautiful. I really thought it was really good to illustrate this, because before we go any further, I want you to notice something in what we've already read. The angel didn't come to the chief priest in the synagogue. The angel didn't come to the Pharisees. The angel didn't come to the Sadducees. The angel didn't come and announce Jesus' birth to the scribes. He came to the shepherds. And having worked at Mrs. Holloway's for close to 30 years and being around her sheep all the time and watching how attentive she was to care for them, checking their hooves for any kind of splits or cracks or picking anything up in the pastures where they were, and Keith taking care to keep the fences up round about the sheepfold, to keep the coyotes out. And I saw this picture, and by just observing the lifestyle of a person who cares for sheep and how connected with life they really are, so attentive to detail. And it seems like it was from that perspective it was most appropriate that if the Lord wanted to get a simple message across, He wouldn't go to theologians who would have a big debate. He would just come to the ones who are already lowly of heart and in a right spirit to receive, because they have a genuine care and concern for their sheep. And those qualities made Mrs. Holloway and others like her a great venue through which 100 years of wisdom and knowledge and understanding of times, people would come to her and she would just talk to them and like be a grandmother to them, but the words that would come out of her mouth were so sweet and so life-giving that who more appropriately would God pick to bring such a message of, he's just another squalling brat in the stable. You know, people just write off babies and have bad attitudes about things like that at Christmas time, one more mouth to feed. But He sent an angel. It was so important that He sent an angel. I don't know, some translations I've read that was Gabriel. I really don't know for sure. But you see the one that came, and you look at the the shocking appearance of that, of the one shepherd, his hand is up to the light because there was such great light that came with this. And now we come back to the scriptures, and this is the message that angel said to the shepherds: fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm an angel of the Lord. You don't have to be afraid of me. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. But it came to them first. For unto you shepherds, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So they hadn't seen him yet. They're out with their sheep. And the angel is telling them, he's been born. After all these generations, he's here. He's come. And this, you will know that he's the one, because his birth isn't going to be at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. His name isn't going to be written in the local newspapers that he was the first one born after midnight New Year's Day. This sign of a very humble birth in a straw pile, if you will. That's what a manger is. I worked on many farms, and growing up as a kid, worked on farms, and I know where you throw the hay into the stall, where in the wintertime, the cows are really thankful that you harvested all that hay and that Keith went out and put all those bales up, and Mrs. Holloway had plenty of hay in her barn for her animals. That's where Jesus was born, in the very humble beginnings of humanity, if you will. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The heavenly host is with the angel. Whoever painted that captured that moment in history that will never be erased. No socialist, no communist, no mocker, no scoffer, no one who bristles when you say Merry Christmas. None of them can ever take that away. Oh, they can try all they want, but too bad, they're too late. They're about 2,000 years too late. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, can you just see them? Whoa, dude, what was that? And you can just see them in a huddle now. They're like, just getting goosebumpies, you know, like, wow, what just happened? And they reasoned among themselves, and this talks about, if you, because the picture is really good, because like you can just inject yourself into that scene and think about what their conversation was and what were they talking about. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. What a privilege. Can you imagine what it was like to be the first ones to know? Do you not get excited in your family when your daughter or your granddaughter has her first child? What is this thing? And there's such a joy, there's such a zeal, there's such an excitement that just burns in a mom's heart and a grandma's heart. Well, think about what was burning in God's heart. Think about what had happened to these guys. And the message, they were chosen by God to be the first. Wow. And you know, What an honor, what a privilege. And you know, when the Lord came to you, you might have been the first one to know in your family. And they were awestruck at what happened to you and didn't understand.
What did the shepherds do that? Why were they, because they were like the lowest people. Mm-hmm. What did they, because I was listening to something like this on TV this morning, and they were saying how awful they were. But it's like, what did they do that was so bad?
Nothing. See, that's why Jesus came. If you want to use the lowest, because they were the lowly ones, some people had jobs. But But to be a shepherd is cleaning up sheep poop, cleaning ticks and fleas off them, cleaning their wool, picking up their feet and making sure that they're not diseased, they're not sick, and there's nothing growing on their feet or their legs. And so it isn't really a job. It's a very, yes, Priscilla. Yes. Yes, they did. In some of the pictures, I found that while the light showed their campfire, because they were cold and they did have a fire. And so coming back to the text, and so they came with haste. I had that word underlined. They wanted to seize the moment. I mean, this was such good news to them. They wanted to tell everybody, and they just had to go and see. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I wrote evangelize in there because there was room at the end of that verse. They were the first evangelists to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were chosen by God to be the first ones to hear, and they had such a zeal, they were so touched in their heart, they had such a passion, that they went and made abroad. That means they left that place and they just went out and told everybody. You know that big bright star that you saw? No, that wasn't NASA's orbiting space station. No, that wasn't the space shuttle. That star was God's way of showing and pointing that right here is where my son. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. Bethlehem. Not too far away. Just they were on the outskirts in the hilly area. But they were so touched at what they experienced, they went out and began evangelizing already. And Jesus was just born. And they were telling everybody what the angels told them, that he was a Savior, Christ the Lord. And Bethlehem is so fitting because biblically Bethlehem means the city of bread. And Jesus called himself the living bread, the bread that came down from heaven. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Probably blew her away to hear that about her little boy. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. After they went out and told everybody, then they came back. And I just see such a charge to the church, the body of Christ, that we have that same message today. There is no new message. You can't dress it up. I don't want to mess with it because it's wonderful. Every once in a while, I come back and I read the four Gospels again. I'm so much into all of these kind of things that it's so refreshing. I've been studying on miracles, and we've been talking about them on Sundays. This is the greatest miracle that ever happened to man. And it's life-changing, life-giving, eternal life matters. This was God's bigly, to steal a phrase from someone we well know. And that's the message, and this picture captures that. And Ken asked me if I would look for some slides for the other ones. And I don't know, every time Faith had come home, I'd be sitting in there looking, trying to find something that would capture the essence of each of the Christmas songs that we're going to do Tuesday night, or they are. I'll be back there where Aaron is because I love to do that. I want to reap the blessing of my labor. I, I want to be up there where I can see how nice they look on the screen. And each one retells the story that someone was so gifted to be able to paint those and really capture that moment. Remember last week with the angel that took the hot coal off the altar and touched Isaiah's lips because God was looking for someone to go out and share the very beginning of the gospel and prophesy the coming of the Messiah? And Isaiah said, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And God said, don't sweat the small stuff, I'll take care of that for you. You're good to go. This is what I want you to speak. And off he went. And the shepherds too, they saw and they went. And we as believers, we've not only seen, we've tasted and we've experienced. And we also should never lose our fervor for seeing the lost saved, because that is the most important in God's eyes. Salvation is the absolute most important. And it's about always keeping that message on our mouths, ready to share. I mean, people are vulnerable and open right now. I think God supernaturally just kind of just goes all over the whole world. People reluctantly will mention his name, but Jesus, Paul said, I don't care whether they preach Christ out of love or out of contention, at least they're preaching Christ. And what a powerful statement. And so I would say, just as a word coming into our new year coming too, is that we never lose sight of the most important message that the church has been commissioned by the Lord himself to never forget what happened. Never forget how he came. It's the most important Christmas message, and it's year-round really, but it's the most important. And I'll just let the picture speak for itself and hope that some of you will be able to come Tuesday night and see the others and take a breather, step back from all the hustle and bustle. People are so wired up now they don't even know which way is loose or up. And it's time just to get out of all that clutter and just come and let Ken and Laurie minister to us and bring these beautiful songs and the stories that the scriptures weave in with the songs, because the songs and the slides depict that story. And it'll be a different presentation in the sense of not just the sky with the stars, but I found a set of things that I think will just tell the story, and I'm excited about that. It's always so nice in here, and thank you all. Anybody have any other needs for prayer that we didn't pray earlier?